Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. Now, where am I today? I am still in Germany, and this time I am in Stuttgart, which is in the south of Germany, the southwest side, in the Swabian Alps. And specifically, I'm going to tell you about the mountains surrounding Stuttgart. Stuttgart is actually in a valley surrounded by mountains on all sides. And the first night that I stayed in Stuttgart, which was earlier this week, we stayed at the Kronen Hotel, which is nestled in the side right by one of these mountains on one side of Stuttgart. And specifically, it had a stairwell directly behind it that went up into the mountains. Now, Stuttgart used to have a lot of vineyards up in the mountains. It still has some, not quite as many as it used to, but the city had actually put in these staircases to help people access the vineyards back when they were there. And today, they offer very scenic hiking trails and walkways for you to get a nice view of Stuttgart from above. Now, I want to talk about this staircase in particular behind the Kronen Hotel because it had a magical surprise behind it. I had some time to kill before meeting my press group the first day that I was here, so I went up this staircase and went up and then made a right at the top of the staircase and continued up the street. And at the corner of the street, I found this gorgeous Chinese temple garden. And it had this ornate Chinese temple. It had writing in Chinese all around. And it had this adorable little sitting area up on top of the steps in this covered area that had a waterfall and a lake. And it was absolutely gorgeous, and it had great views that it offered of Stuttgart. And I did not expect to find this. I was blown away when I did, and I spent a lot of my first day here just reflecting in that beautiful, beautiful garden. So it just goes to show you, you never know what you're going to find, and sometimes it's fun to just get out and explore a new city and see what you find. And the stairwells in Stuttgart are kind of like that. They have a lot of hiking trails that lead to really beautiful finds up in the hills. Now, specifically, the story that I want to tell you today in Stuttgart, because, you know, I always go somewhere and say, what's the weirdest thing here, and then wind up finding it. Well, I was going to do that this time, but I didn't have much free time. And luckily, as part of our tour system, I got to find one of the weirdest things here in Stuttgart, which was unexpected and exciting. And specifically, that was the old cable car of Stuttgart. Now, you might be asking why a cable car is weird. And I'll agree, generally, they're pretty cool, they're historic, but I wouldn't consider them weird normally. But this one is exceptionally unique. It all started with the cemetery. So in 1913, the city of Stuttgart ran out of cemetery space within the city, which a lot of European, you know, cities did around that time or even well before. So they decided to open up a new cemetery on top of one of the hills surrounding the city in a very peaceful spot in the forest. And it was built, like I said, in 1913, very close to the start of World War I. So it wound up being filled with a lot of people who died in the war, which was unexpected at the time it was built. But now there are many of important people from the city of Stuttgart buried there, as well as a lot of soldiers from both of the wars. And another interesting fact about this cemetery that I will say before I talk about discovering it is that at the time that it was built, it wasn't possible for women and men to be buried together back then, which is really something that, I mean, I haven't even thought of. I think that's quite interesting. So there's a separate spot in the cemetery for men and a separate spot for women. Now, this cable car, what does the cable car have to do with this cemetery? Well, It's quite a hike up the hill for people to be able to get up there to see the cemetery. So the cable car was actually added by the city of Stuttgart as a way for people to go up to the cemetery in the forest. So it was specifically created to provide access to this cemetery. And what's even more interesting about it is that it's very almost morbid, bland, very minimalistic in design because it was made to go to the cemetery. And specifically, it was regularly used for funeral processions. So, a lot of times when they would have cemeteries in a nearby church, then the procession would go up in the cable car to the cemetery for the burial. And because of that, they made it like dark in wood. So it's a very simple, minimalistic, dark wood design. And you can look at it and think, this is a good mourning car, a good car to go up when you're mourning in the cemetery or when you're a part of this funeral procession. And it didn't become more of a tourist attraction until later, because now that they're not actively burying people up there in that specific cemetery, the purpose has become more about tourism and how this is a cool piece of Stuttgart's history. And I just thought that was incredibly fascinating, and what a great find, because while there are many cable cars that take people up the hills in Germany, this is the first one that I've experienced that was built specifically for funeral processions, and its design absolutely does reflect that. It was originally created with two different carriages, one going up while the other goes down, and they do have to work at the same time for balance because they need to balance each other out. And specifically, this kind of got off kilter and was a problem. There was an accident in the 1950s where there was a funeral procession going up the hill, and a lot of the people that were on it were overweight and heavy, and wound up unbalancing the car. And one of the cable cars crashed off the track, and many people died. So there was also a bad accident there in the 1950s in this cable car. Something else that makes it very unique today is it's free if you have a public transport card. So if you have or pay for public transportation with the city, you also have access to this cable car whenever you want. And it's wild to think that you are still kind of in the city of Stuttgart when you go up into the hills here, because it immediately becomes so peaceful, so tucked away in the woods, and so secluded. There are many hiking trails with different symbols to label the trail put around Stuttgart, as they are in many places in Germany. And specifically here in the Swabian Alb in Baden-Württemberg, there are a lot of labeled pictures used on the trees that show you which trail that you're on. And I had mentioned before that we walked the Ice Age Trail in the past, which was like a simple yellow circle as the sign. And this cemetery specifically is found off of the Blue Stockings Trail. It's notated by a picture of blue socks, basically, blue stockings. And that also has a really interesting story with some unique lore. In 1519, the Duke of Gutenberg was specifically betrayed by a certain sect of people in the town of Stuttgart. And he specifically rounded up all the people who betrayed him, and they were forced to wear blue stockings to church on Sunday, so all the people of the town could see them and know them as betrayers. So this district is where those people were from, so this became the Blue Stocking Trail, or the Trail of Traitors. And I think that's a really interesting story that you wouldn't know otherwise if you didn't know. So this Blue Stocking Trail goes through the mountainside here and takes you right up to the cemetery, and it is specifically the Trail of Traitors. And now, talking about the cemetery, I have to say it is the most beautiful cemetery I have ever seen. And I've been to many cemeteries around the world. It's something that I love to see and visit to get a feel for the different types of death rituals and traditions that exist around the world. And this is by far my personal favorite because I love the woods and the forest. And this is specifically a cemetery tucked away in the woods, in the forest, with a few patches of open fields and sunlight coming through up in this very peaceful area above Stuttgart. You would have no idea you were even above Stuttgart or near it because it's so quiet there and it's so peaceful there. And when you walk up, you kind of go through this building that has a fence, and there's these carvings of angels and a mother in the actual stone of the wall, and it's simply gorgeous. There is a statue of a woman holding these pools that drips little tears, which is also just a wonderful memorial to the people who have passed away. And as you start walking through the trail, you see these elaborately large and uniquely shaped headstones that aren't shaped like traditional headstones. They're very almost stone-like, like made to look like part of the foliage, is part of the rocks in the area with trees surrounding them. And they're really some of the most beautiful graves I've ever seen. And like I said, you know, if you want to be buried in the forest in a peaceful, serene spot, this is the place. And as you keep going back, there's also a section that's pretty packed with more traditional looking headstones in a field, and it's a whole field of victims of the air raids in Stuttgart that happened during World War II. And then as you continue on the Blue Stocking Trail, you go through just some beautiful scenery, some nice woodland paths. There's a separate bike path and a separate pedestrian path that don't even really mirror each other. They kind of cross in a perpendicular manner, and the bike trail specifically has a bridge that goes over the pedestrian hiking trail and then just down. And a lot of people take this old authentic historical train that exists up into the mountain. And there's specifically a car at the front of this train that allows you to put your bikes on. So it's like a bike car on the outside. And a lot of people in the town go up there with their bikes to bike ride down. Now, you're not allowed to take your bike down, though. There is no way or no option to then bring the bike down. You have to ride the bike down specifically on the bike trail. And this bike trail, like I said, I mean, it goes down the hill, and it's pretty steep at times, but it's kind of carved out as a way for people to be able to ride their bikes down the mountain through the forest. And it does intersect with the pedestrian trails once or twice, but they have a bridge over it to keep people safe and away from the bicycles. Then, as you keep going, there's another cemetery up here with another interesting story that goes with it. In the 1800s, up here on this hill, there was a shooting range for the garrison of the city. And the forest cemetery quickly became very full after it was built, as I mentioned, because both of the wars happened. So they had to put another up in the mountain here, and they felt that the shooting range for the garrison from the 1800s was no longer in use, so that was the perfect spot to put the next cemetery. And this cemetery became famous when it had three terrorists buried here. So in the 1970s, there were three members of the Red Army faction, or the Communist faction, that were terrorists to the German government, and they were arrested, and the three of them committed suicide in a high-security prison, and then no one wanted to bury them. So no one wants to bury them because they're traitors, and this was the problem. So it became a governmental issue, and the mayor of the town said, "The enemy must end someday." So he proclaimed that they must be buried, and he picked this specific spot for them to be buried. And it's interesting because they're buried up here with a lot of police. There are a lot of police buried in the cemetery, so it seemed fitting. And we were told that a lot of people come up into the cemetery and ask, "Where can I find the terrorists here?" And the people that work there are trained to say, "There are no terrorists here, just dead people." Which is kind of a great response. And I mean, I think that's for the best because it would probably lead to a situation where these graves are defiled or they get unnecessary attention if people know where they are. So it's better to let them lie and move on. But it creates a great story to tell people about that cemetery too. And I mean, who would have thought that the mountains surrounding Stuttgart would be filled with cemeteries? As we continued on the trail, there was this wonderful Italian woman that was a part of our group who I very much enjoyed working with throughout the week, and she was finding strawberries that were kind of growing naturally up in the fields, which was really nice, and was picking them and eating them. And then there was a cherry tree, and she specifically was like, "Oh, here's cherries. We can eat these." And everyone starts picking them and eating them. And then the guy's like, "No, don't eat those. I don't know what they are. They could be poisonous." And she's like, "No, they're just cherries." And I had not eaten my cherry yet. I had it in my hand. And in that moment, I thought, maybe I should wait to make sure no one throws up before I eat this. But I did choose to eat it, and I would like to say that it was just a cherry. So that was phew, right? Something else that can be found in the hills, the mountains surrounding Stuttgart, is the Stuttgart Television Tower. When it was built, it was the first television tower in the world to be built, and it was the 10th highest building in the world. The tower opened in 1956 and became a landmark of the city by representing the beginning of a new era in tower construction, both structurally and architecturally. It was the first of its kind to be made out of reinforced concrete. And if you look at the design for it, if you see the model, because they did show us the model when we went down in the basement of the structure, it's kind of scary because it's 217 meters high, which is 711 feet, and it really only goes a little way underground. Like for as tall as this tower is, its base is very, very shallow under the ground. And the reason that that works so well is because they weighted it down so much. So the part that's under the ground is incredibly, incredibly heavy, much more than the top of the tower, so it structurally stays up. And they also laid these cylinder-like beams in a star pattern all the way around in a circle underneath of it so that it was flexible and the ground could kind of come through. So it was constructed in a way that it's possible, and the tower has obviously been standing there since 1956 without issue, though I do hear it does sway a little bit when there's heavy winds. The reason for the construction of the tower in the 50s was because no one had good reception because Stuttgart is in a valley and it was almost impossible to pick up even the major television channels with their antennas. And so this was constructed so that people could get reception and be able to use their television sets. And specifically, the town had a problem with it at first because it was aesthetically not pleasing to them. And this was unheard of, having a television tower, and they were just very resistant to it because it was a new, innovative idea. And as I mentioned, they weighted the bottom so much. So it's 4,500 tons at the bottom of the tower in a ring, whereas the top is only 3,000 tons, so it stays up. Another quite amusing story was that Queen Elizabeth came to visit the tower in 1963. She came to Stuttgart and drove around in her Mercedes-Benz and wanted to see this tower. And they had messed up something with the grass, where there was a mistake and an issue, and the grass just looked terrible and dead. And they're like, "Well, this just is not fit for a queen. What do we do?" So it was the last minute and they had to think of something. So they decided to spray paint the grass green around the tower. So It looked beautiful, but of course it was just because it was spray painted. And they joke now that some of the British people that were there were confused as to why the bottoms of their shoes turned green when they came to visit the tower. And we're going to talk right now about the name Stuttgart because that's also kind of weird and interesting. Stuttgart is the modern version of its older name, Stuttgarten, which means a garden for the horses. And the name came from the fact that it was founded in the 10th century by Duke Liudolf of Swabia to breed war horses for his cavalry during the Hungarian invasion of Europe. So it was quite literally a garden for the horses. So now the town mascot here is a horse. So the people of Stuttgart are horses, whereas the people of Ulm are sparrows, like we talked about in the last podcast. A few other interesting facts before I go here. Stuttgart is considered the least stressful city in the world. It's also a major part of the car industry because it's home to Mercedes-Benz and Porsche. And I will go in a little bit more detail about Mercedes-Benz and their museum here in a bit. And it's funny because it has the worst air quality, the worst air pollution in all of Germany, probably because of its association with the car industry. And one thing that I love about Germany is it's very focused on sustainability. Their tourism and government and everyone involved in the higher ups are all trying to find ways to be more green and more sustainable. And part of the efforts here to fix the air problems in Stuttgart involves them making certain streets pretty much just bike streets, where cars can go through them too, but the bikes specifically get the right of way. So it discourages cars from going to the street. And so the only cars that really go down these ways are the ones that live on the street or work on the street and have to park there. So they are really pushing the public transportation and they're really making it so a lot of the city is specifically either pedestrian heavy or gives the right of way to bicyclists. Now, before we go here, let's talk a little bit about the Mercedes-Benz Museum, which is here in Stuttgart as well. Now, since the creation of Mercedes-Benz with the start of just Benz, Stuttgart has been the home of the Mercedes-Benz, and it was where the first cars were built. And our guide at the Mercedes-Benz Museum cleverly called it the Silicon Valley of its time because all of the technical revolutions with the car industry were happening here in Germany back at the start of the century. In 1886, the first car was built, and a competing model was released shortly after that. And if you go to the Mercedes-Benz Museum, you can see the first two cars ever built in the world, which is pretty cool. And it has this very, very fresh, modern, curved design. It's very artistic, it's very pretty, especially from the outside. And then you go in, and the idea is that you get on this elevator, which looks like a time machine, and it takes you back in time to where cars were first created. And you get to see the transition of cars from the first car in 1886 to today and the innovations of the future. And I have to say, it was pretty neat. It was pretty cool to see the oldest two cars in existence, I mean, that were ever created. And then it goes through their design from they were carriage-like at first. So they were created to look like carriages because that's what people knew in the automotive industry. People go around in carriages to get around. And then they added, these engines into the cars so that you could move yourself around without horses. And it shows kind of this evolution of them going from looking like carriages to then transitioning to looking more like cars that we know today of our time. And that was one of the issues that Benz faced for a while. His cars plummeted in sales because he wasn't the first person to modernize the way the car looked. He kept the carriage design, where his competitors started making them look different and more edgy and more like cars that we know today. And he had to pivot and adapt to that. And there's also a great story about his wife helping him with the design of his cars. And while Mr. Benz over here gets all the credit. Carl's Benz gets the credit for creating, these cars. His wife, Bertha Benz, on the 5th of August in 1888, was the first person to drive an internal combustion engine automobile over a long distance. She was the first person to do a long distance drive on her car. She's the reason we have gas stations because the concept of gas stations came around at that time from her long distance trip. And she field tested the Benz patent motor wagon and sent her husband a bunch of things that this needs to be fixed, this needs to be fixed, this needs to be fixed, and helped him fix and conceptualize cars so they could be driven long distance. This includes inventing brake lining and solving several practical issues during her journey, which was 65 miles. And in doing so, she brought the patent motor wagon worldwide attention and got their company its first sales. She was not allowed to study in the Grand Duchy of Baden, and her financial and practical engineering contributions have long been overlooked until recently. But she was actually very hands-on in developing a lot of the cars that her husband Carl Benz created, and luckily she's just now getting her story told. But it was interesting to hear also more about the woman that helped come up with the first cars that was kind of left out of the history books because back then, women couldn't be inventors. Women couldn't have ideas. And there is a really great women's tour that they offer at the Mercedes-Benz Museum that I'm very interested in taking now. As I mentioned, the Mercedes-Benz Museum is very aesthetically beautiful. It plays really well with lights and design, and it looks very artistic in nature. My only complaint with it is that it's hard to take pictures in it because it's so circular in design. You're always looking at somebody else trying to take a picture, and you're across from them trying to take a picture, which is just going to happen in busy museums. But I will say, at the very end of the tour, when you get to the race section and they have the racetrack kind of set up going along the wall past you, it's really beautiful. It's really spectacular. That's a great place to take photos, and it's worth it for that dramatic reveal of the end with the whole race car setup. It just looks so beautiful. And then as you end, there's a great display of a bunch of the old cars, of some of the modern cars. And something that was interesting was that their newest design of cars, like their prototypes that aren't exactly workable right now, but that they are working on to get out into the market. They're looking into researching using solar panels in cars too. So having solar panels kind of like built into the design on the top of the car in a way that you don't even really know that it's solar panels, and using that along with the hybrid engine to move cars along, which is pretty cool. And I would love to see where that develops over the next decade or so. So that's really my whole spiel on Stuttgart. It is quite an interesting place, and while most people associate it with cars and Mercedes-Benz and Porsche and know that this is where they come from, there's so much more here, and so many cool little nods and weird legends and stories, and I just, it was definitely worth the visit. And I will say the one thing that I didn't do that I am interested in doing in the future as part of my weird tour is they have a pig museum here dedicated to all things pigs. Pig art, pig information, pig mythology, and then of course eating pigs at the very end. And it's in an old slaughterhouse that has since become a pig museum. And while I'm not for the whole slaughterhouse thing, I would absolutely be interested in seeing this weird pig museum the next time I come here. But that will have to be for another day. That's all I have for you guys here in Germany right now. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be with you all next week. And until then, I hope you stay safe.